Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
All right, guys. So as you guys are hopping on here, I want to welcome everybody again. I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines and Remnant Revival Ministries. Tonight, I have a unique word. Again, all these messages I sent or I give you guys, or a lot of these are I get in my devotional time. And when I get these words, sometimes they're just for me personally, but many times, like this one, I believe is a corporate word, meaning that someone out there via Facebook or YouTube or however you may be watching this, this is going to be a word for somebody. So I'm going to talk about what happens when you are not wavering and someone else is. Okay, let me talk about this again. What happens when you're not wavering, but they are? And I'm talking about who you're yoked with, who you're partnering with, who you are linked with, connected with, okay? And I'm going to bring out some stuff. Genesis 12, we're going to be just kind of skipping around here. Genesis 12, Genesis 13, Genesis, I'm probably going to read a little bit out of 15, and then 16. So let me give you a little bit of a backdrop and where I got this out of. We all know the story of this. Abram is minding his own business. The Lord appears to him. He speaks to him and says, get out of your country. Get out of what you're familiar with. Get out of familiarity. Go to a place in which is going to be unknown and uncharted territory. You're going to pioneer on something that you've never embarked in. You're going to experience something that you've never experienced. And you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to believe me. And he sets out. He's obedient to this. And your Bible says that he's not alone in this journey, but he's partnered with his wife, Sarah. So you have Abraham and you have Sarah, and of course his nephew Lot is with him, but later on we discover as they journey on, Lot goes his way and Abraham and Sarah, who he's yoked with, come on, he's partnered with, they continue on in this journey in which he's what he's called him to do. So we see this, and in Abraham's as Abraham continues in his journey of obedience, he comes to many places. I call these markers, these locations in which he has an encounter with God. He builds an altar to the Lord. He worships to the Lord. He makes a sacrifice to the Lord. And these are marking points in his life. I believe we all should have these points of references in our walk with God. It's in our journey that we have encounters with him. These are places that we mark these down in our journal. We know these places. These are places where God showed up. These are places where we had an encounter with the presence of Almighty. We had the fire of God fell. We got saved that night. We got delivered that night. We got baptized in the Holy Ghost that night. That was the night that our children got touched. Our loved ones came to the Lord. Whatever the case may be, you got healed. You had an experience with God. Whatever the case may be, this is what you read about when you study the life of Abraham. So the Lord gives Abraham a word. Listen to this. He says in Genesis chapter 12, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, your descendants, I will give this land. And as a result, he built an altar there. So he goes on. And he goes on, and we can read over here. We skip over here to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. You can read this in Genesis chapter 14, Genesis chapter 15. He goes over and he tells, he's having a one-on-one encounter with Abraham. And he says, Abraham, I want you to look into the stars of the heavens. And as you can count the number of the stars, so shall your descendants be. If you can count the grains of sand, so shall your descendants be. In other words, he was telling Abraham, I want you to dream big. I want you to believe big. Come on, somebody. You need to hear that. I want you to dream big and believe big. There's no limitations when you serve a God. We serve serve a great big God. Thus, he wants us to have a great big expectation. I don't believe that there's an expectation that we can have that surpasses the limitations of God's boundaries of what he is believing and what he is destined and what he is ordained for us to have. So he tells Abraham, if you can believe big, then I'm going to partner with what, or basically what he's saying is, I want you to partner with what I have already conceived in my plan for you, Abraham. I've already ordained for this. I just need you to come into agreement with what I've already ordained and what I've already dreamed about for you and to see manifested in your life. So your Bible says Abraham believed him. He believed him and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. Now we go over here. Watch this. We go over to the chapter 15. And after these things, the word of the Lord comes to Abraham again. Now this time he comes in a vision. And he says, don't be afraid. I'm your shield. I'm your exceedingly great reward. In other words, Abraham, I know there's been time that's surpassed. I know you've gotten a little bit older. Sarah's gotten a little bit older. The time of progression has increased. It's gone on. But I have not forgotten my covenant. I've not forgotten what I promised to you. And I've not forgotten what I have planned and ordained for you to walk in and fulfill. But Abram spoke to the Lord and said, what will you give me? Listen to this. Seeing I go childless and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. And then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. In other words, he's beginning to question. He's beginning to confront God and said, hey, God, remember this promise you said to my descendants shall be great? All the way over here in Genesis chapter 12. Come on. You said, I'm going to bless you and make you a great nation out of you, and I'll make your name great, and those who bless you shall be blessed, and those who curse you shall be cursed. So then we skip over to all the way over to chapter 15, and he's beginning to ask. He says, Lord, what are you going to give me seeing I go childless? And in 15:4, behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir. He was pointing to Eleazar. He said, this one is not going to be your heir, but one who will come from your own body. Golly, I said it's going to come from your own body. I said it's going to come from your own DNA. I said it's going to come from your bloodline. It's going to come from your dream. It's going to come from your seed, Abraham. See, can I just go from the natural to the spiritual in just a second? See, the problem with many ministers, with many entrepreneurs, with many individuals who are launching something, creating something, birthing something, starting something, we get our eyes off of what God has put in us. We get our eyes off the seed that God wants to develop in us and wants to birth in us. We get our eyes off of this and we get our eyes on everybody else and what they've birthed, what they have launched, what they have planted, what they have toiled, and what they have cultivated. And we get our eyes off of our own DNA and we get our eyes on somebody else's DNA. And what I'm trying to say is, instead of enduring the pain, the suffering, and the progression of birthing what God wants to birth out of us and that it's going to have our own DNA, instead, we are looking for an easier way out. Instead, we want to adopt something that somebody else has already paid the price for. Oh, come on. We all want revival, but we want to adopt what somebody else has prayed for, what somebody else has interceded for, what somebody else has prayed the price for, because we don't want to pay the price. We don't want to travail. We don't want to intercede. We don't want to spend the time. We don't want to do what it takes to birth something out of us from the inside of us that carries our own DNA. You got to listen to this, but this is not where I'm going. Watch this. So God says, no, that which comes from your own body shall be your heir. And then he brought him outside. So he brings Abraham. He says, look now towards heaven. Here it is. Count the stars. And if you're able to number them, He said, so shall your descendants be. Well, who in the world can number the stars of the heavens? In other words, we put restraints, we put restrictions on what God wants to do through us. Come on. Nobody is stopping you except for you. Come on. With God, all things are possible. Listen what he says. And he believed the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, who believed the Lord? Abraham. Now, notice Sarah wasn't involved in this. But no doubt, your Bible doesn't say this, but Abraham went back and he told Sarah, Sarah, you're never going to believe this. Whoo, I know where I'm going with this. Some of y'all don't know this yet, but I know where I'm going. Sarah, this was his wife. This was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Come on, somebody. He said, Sarah, I just, listen, you got to listen to me. I had a genuine encounter with the Lord. I'm talking about I was in prayer. I was in devotion. I was in my prayer closet. The presence of God showed up and I began to question God about the promises he made back when we were with, when we were still with my nephew, when we were still with Lot. And remember when God showed up, she's like, oh yeah, how can I not forget? How can I forget that? I remember that. I was there. And Abraham says, yeah, but the Lord just showed up to me and he spoke to me and said to go outside and look at the stars. And if I could count the number of the stars in heaven, so shall my descendants be. So he's all excited. He's telling Sarah, God is about to do something exceedingly abundantly above all that I could even, that we could even ask or think according to the very power that worketh within us. Come on. We don't know what her response was, but I'm going to tell you, watch this. And then in verse 7, he says, I'm going to give you this land to inherit it. And then Abraham, he's still having this conversation with the Lord. How shall I know that I will inherit it? And he says, Bring me a three-year-old heifer and a three-year-old female goat. Bring me a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, a young pigeon. In other words, bring me an offering. It's interesting. Woo, I could really plow on this. It's interesting that when Abraham had to sit and make his face like flint and begin to believe the impossible, that he had to make a sacrifice. He had to make an offering of sacrifice. That's what your Bible says. He brought all these to the Lord. He cut them in two, down the middle, placed each piece opposite of the other, and he did not cut the birds in two. And when, listen to this, the vultures came down on the carcasses. Abraham had to drive them away. See, I just come by to tell somebody tonight, this is not really part of the message, but it's going to play into this. You keep sowing and believing for what God has called you to do. So you're, by faith, you're sowing. Yes, I said sowing. Don't get mad at me because I believe in sowing and reaping. Listen, I couldn't tell you how many times. Every major promise of God that I believe God for, every single breakthrough, every single blessing, everything extraordinary that God has brought through my life and brought into my family and brought through our ministry, we have sowed in faith and believed for. And it's not always money, so don't get all worked up and get offended and start tagging me as a prosperity preacher. I'm just telling you, even David said, I will not give the Lord what costs me nothing. Let me say it again. David said, I will not give the Lord what costs me nothing. So he says, the Lord says what he's, so watch this. In verse 10, the vultures begin to come down on the very thing that he's offering God. And Abraham is driving away the vultures. He's driving away the buzzards. Come on. Some of y'all's tired from driving away the vultures and driving away the buzzards from that which you're believing God for. Now watch this. Now here's, then he tells him something that nobody wants to hear. You ready for this? Now when the sun, this is verse 12 of Genesis 15. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. And then he said to Abram, this is the Lord speaking. Now some of y'all would say, well, that's not God because it was dark and it was horror and it was distressful. So y'all would mark that off. Well, that's got to be the devil. That's not God. But your Bible says that God showed up in the great darkness. God showed up in the horror that fell upon him in his deep sleep. And the Lord spoke to Abram and said, now certainly your descendants will be strangers in a land that's not theirs. And they will serve them and will afflict them 400 years. Now, how would you like to have that kind of word from God? So here you just had a word from God. Hey, you're going to get this great blessing and you're going to get this great promise from me, from heaven. I'm going to release this great blessing. And then, come on, then he turns right around and says, oh, but by the way, you're not going to get it next month. You're not going to get it next year. In fact, I'm not going to tell you how long you're going to get it. In this case, he said 400 years. The very thing, the very promise, the very blessing, your DNA, the thing that you're birthing is going to be held in captivity. The nation that will come out of you will be held in bondage for 400 years. But I've still got a plan, Abraham. Do you still believe me? Some of y'all would throw in the towel right there and say, you know what? God, it ain't worth all that. I'm just going to throw in the towel. But your Bible says, listen to this in verse 14, and also the nation whom they serve, I will judge, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. They shall come out with great possessions. In other words, the end of this thing, Abraham, is going to be great if you can just keep believing me and keep persevering and keep toiling and keep travailing and keep persevering and keep going on to the end of this thing and seeing through it to the end. Now watch this. In verse 15, now as for you, then he goes and he directs this thing to Abraham. And he says, as for you, you're going to go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried at a good old age. Come on, how would you like to have that word from God? Did you know in Psalms 91, it says, with long life, I'll satisfy you and show you the joy of thy salvation. Come on, I pray that over my family almost daily. With long life, he'll satisfy me and show me the joy of my salvation. In fact, we did an article today on End Time Headlines. It was a 106-year-old woman, and she contributed her longevity to her faith in God. And I was like, my goodness, well, there's a word right there in Psalms 91. With long life, I'll satisfy thee and show thee the joy of thy salvation. Now we get to verse 16. I said all that to get here in 16. It's one thing for you to get a promise from God for your family. It's one thing for you to get as you as a leader. You as a pastor, you as a husband, you as a wife, to get a word from God about your destiny, about your purpose, about your direction for your ministry, for your home, for your household, for your family, for your marriage, for your whatever it is that you're believing God for. It's one thing for you to get that word, but it's another thing for you to have agreement. Matthew 18:19, if any two shall agree in touching any one thing, it shall be done. And you say, why is that important, Brother Ricky? Because in Amos chapter 3, verse 2, it says, how can any two walk together lest they be agreed? Your Bible says in the book of Matthew that a house divided among itself will not stand. So you get over here to chapter 16. You have all these promises that were given to Abraham. Some of these were given to them in the presence of Abraham and Sarah. She already knew what these promises were, but the deeper understanding of this, the deeper revelation of this was given to Abraham in private. And no doubt he relayed this message to his wife, Sarah. He expected her to be walking hand in hand. He expected to be walking in this. He expected her to believe it. Remember the word of the Lord. Let's go back here. Let me recap. In the book of Genesis chapter 14, I believe it was 14. No, 15. In chapter 15, the Lord spoke to Abraham and he says, out of your body shall come this promise. Not out of somebody else's body, not out of somebody else's DNA, not out of somebody else's seed, not their vision, not their plan, not their purpose, not their blueprint. It's going to come out of you, Abraham. But then we get to 16 of Genesis. Listen to what it says. It says, now Sarah, Abram's wife had bore him no children. So now time advances. Somebody say time goes on. You get a promise from God and time goes on. You get a promise from God, you write it down in your journal, but time goes on. Come on, the sun comes up, the sun goes down. A month goes by, 2 months goes by, 3 months goes by. Sometimes a year goes by. Sometimes it's 3 years, 5 years. You're still believing God. You go back. You look. That's why you got to write that down. You got to put those things down. You got to write them down. And you begin to call to remember it's those things in which God gave you a word for. So we see here as the progression of time went, Sarah, the Bible says that Sarah bore no children. And now listen to this. Come on, y'all know this story. Y'all can preach this as good as I can on this. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. Oh, I just want to say this. You can take it to the bank that every time that you're believing God for a promise and God gives you specific instructions for that promise and what you're believing for, you can take it to the bank that it won't happen initially. It won't happen the day you get the word. It probably won't happen the next day. It won't probably happen a week later. But over the process of time, as you're continue to contend, and as you're continue to believe for that promise, continue to believe for that word, all of a sudden a dry spell comes. There's no rain. You're not seeing the manifestation. You're not seeing it come to fruition. All of a sudden, it's in those conditions that Hagar begins to show up. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said that's when Hagar shows up. You notice she didn't show up in the beginning when the word of the Lord came. She didn't show up when God took Abraham on a journey to count the stars and count the sands of the sea. She didn't show up then. No. She showed up when it was a dry spell. She showed up when they weren't, when it didn't look like anything was happening, when it looked like it was impossible, when it looked like God had failed us, when it looked like God had forgotten us, when it looked like God had abandoned us. A Hagar just happened to raise her head. Now, listen, watch this. And she happened to be in the same household. She was an Egyptian maidservant. And the Bible says, so Sarah said to Abraham. It didn't say Abraham said to Sarah. It's one thing if Abraham, oh, this is so good, guys. It's one thing if Abraham would have wavered his faith and said, hey, Sarah, I noticed that we're not producing anything that God told us to produce. So I've come up with a lame brain idea. No. Your Bible says that Abraham didn't do this. In fact, your Bible says in the book of Romans that Abraham, as he aged, as he got older, he did not waver in his faith. He did not waver in the promises of God, but was strengthened in his faith and believed that God, who calls those things that be not as though they were, was well able to fulfill that which God had promised. So it was not about Abraham wavering in his faith, but watch this, but it was who he was with, who he was yoked with, who he was in covenant with. It wasn't just him, it was his wife. Come on. Now let's go back to what I said. What happens when you don't waver, but they do? Now watch this. This is dangerous. Watch this. Verse 16, verse 2. So Sarah said to Abraham, look, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Now that wasn't even true, because God had already given them a word that they were going to bear children. But because it wasn't happening in their time frame and the way they expected it, they begin to put things in God's mouth that God never said. Well, look, Abraham, God's restrained me from bearing children. Now, what's blowing me away is, listen what she said. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. Now, hold on. Now, you would think, Abraham's not going to get out of this thing easy, because you would think Abraham would stop her right there and say, listen, woman, the Lord spoke to me and said that out of my body shall come the promise. Now, Sarah could have interrupted and said, yeah. Well, out of your body. Out of your body. Yes, so it could be your seed, but he never said it had to be my egg. Woo! Now, isn't this how the enemy works? Let me go all the way back to the book of Genesis when God spoke to Adam and Eve, and he says, you can eat of the fruits of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For the day in which you eat of it, you shall surely die. Remember, those were the specific instructions. But remember when the cunning serpent appeared in the garden and he began to quote the scripture and he twisted it to say something that God never said. This is exactly what's happening right here. Listen, when God spoke to Abraham and said, out of your body shall come your promise, God was well capable of understanding and comprehending who his wife was. And it was Sarah. It was the one who God called him to in the beginning. I felt the check in my spirit right here. Because see, you've got a lot of bishops that call themselves bishops. You've got a lot of pastors that call themselves pastors. You've got a lot of leaders in the body of Christ that started out with one wife, you know, the one that God blessed them with, the one that they made a covenant with, till death do us part, from sickness and health. And they were there in the beginning. They were running this journey. They were running this thing. And they were locked arm in arm. And they were walking together in agreement with these things. But because, come on, circumstances change. Things got a little bit of rocky. Things, the seasons came and season go. They abandoned who they were with and began, come on, to take upon somebody else. In fact, one bishop years ago, this was several years ago, and they're still doing this thing. They begin to go on and say that they made up these excuses like, well, you know, the Bible says that, you know, a bishop should be the husband of one wife. And they twisted this and contorted it and made it to say that one wife at a time. But see, this is how the enemy is. So let me go back to this word. I'm spending a whole lot more time on this than I wanted to. But this is a word for somebody. I'm going to get to this thing in just a second here. Watch this. So listen, it says, so listen, Abraham, go into my maid. Perhaps I'll obtain children by her. And your Bible says Abraham heeded the voice of Sarah. So I'm not picking on the ladies here. So Abraham's just as guilty. But he heeded the voice of Sarah. And Abraham's wife took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abraham to be his wife. And Abraham dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar. She conceived, and when she saw, now listen to this. And when Sarah saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Now, isn't that, now let me read the rest of this. And then Sarah said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. Or let me use modern vernacular. Oh, my bad. Oh, you know, my bad, Abraham. You know, I really didn't hear from God right there. And I probably got in the flesh. My bad. My wrong be upon you. And here's what's, my wrong be upon you. Excuse me, Sarah. You're the one that came up with this harebrained idea. Now, yeah, Abraham agreed to it, but you're the one that conceived this idea. But then she says, my wrong be upon you, Abraham, because I can't believe that you would agree to something like this. This is absolutely ridiculous. Come on. Y'all think y'all got some dysfunction in your marriage. Y'all think that y'all got some, did y'all argue over some things and y'all don't see eye to eye on things. Guys, read your Bible sometimes. This stuff, I'm telling you, there's dysfunction all to, and God used these people. Okay? Now listen to what he says. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. So there was friction. There was contention. There was turmoil. And in fact, the Bible, and I'm not going to read all this, guys, for sake of time, but we know the story. Ishmael was born from Hagar. So through this whole mess, because they try to help God along, Because the promise wasn't coming when they wanted it, in the time frame they wanted it, and how they wanted it. They thought they'd help out God. And as a result, you listen to me. What happens when one is not wavering and the other is, and you're yoked with them? I'm going to tell you what happens. Many times we will produce an Ishmael. Now, what do you mean you'll produce an Ishmael? The Bible says that the word Ishmael means a wild donkey. Something wild, something untamed, something unrestrained, something chaotic. Did you know that when we're believing God for the promises, when we're believing God for something great, and if we waver in this thing, guys, and I'm not saying that God can't bless it, because he ended up blessing it anyway, and they ended up boring Isaac the promise. But what I'm trying, and that's the mercy of God. What I'm trying to say, guys, this is the word of encouragement. I want to leave here with a gloom and doom message. What I'm trying to tell you is, guys, that when God tells you something, my goodness, I'll receive this word tonight for myself. If y'all don't want anything, if you don't want this word, I'll receive it for myself. I'm going to remember this. Lord, help me to remember on this day, this word that you gave me in this devotion, so that I don't birth an Ishmael. And then later on down the road, I have to reap the results of this, which is, again, chaos, turmoil, dissension, an absolute mess. How many of us, listen, let's just be honest before the Lord here tonight. How many of us, God has given us specific instructions. He's given us promises. He's given us directions. He's told us, he's given us blueprints. And we begin to come into agreement with these things. And we begin to walk these things out. And the blessings of God are flowing. Things are going great. But then all of a sudden, we enter into a season of dryness. We enter into a season of barrenness. We enter into a season of uncertainty. We don't see the manifestation of that which we've been believing for. We don't see the fruition of that which we've been believing for. And then all of a sudden, we begin to, the enemy comes in. Come on, a Hagar appears and makes herself convenient at that time. And when that happens, we have a choice to either say no or we say yes. We embrace the process or we yield to convenience. And if we yield to convenience, because see, Hagar was nothing but convenience. And when they yielded to convenience, your Bible says there was a 10-year span that went. Everything was good. It seemed, oh, everything was great. But all of a sudden, come on, sometimes we sow things. The Bible says, be not deceived. Whatsoever man sows, that he shall reap. Sometimes we make a mess and it's in seed form and we never see it until it becomes, until it's birth and it grows and it gets a little bit older and it gets a little bit bigger and it gets a little bit taller and it gets a little bit larger. Come on. There's some things that can't really do any harm as long as they're in their infancy. But when that thing begins to, come on, when it begins to grow in its maturity and it begins a mind of its own, it gets a personality of its own, it gets a nature of its own, come on somebody, that's when you're going to get yourself in trouble. So I want to help somebody tonight. Come on, let's just all pray for this. This is a corporate time of prayer right here. I want to end this segment real quick before we sign out. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, right under Facebook Live. There's going to be a link right there. If you click on that, you can subscribe to us, push notifications, email subscriptions. If you would like to sow into this ministry, partner with this ministry. If this ministry continues to encourage you, bless you, equip you, edify you, and inform you weekly, then we ask that you be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you tonight to do. So here's how we're going to pray about this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's just agree with me in prayer right now. I want you to agree with me in prayer right now. Father, Lord, I believe I've delivered this word just as you've given this to me in my devotion, in my time, in my secret place with you as I was studying this word, and you dropped this word in my heart. And as I released this to them, I pray that we all, Lord God, would yield ourselves to this word, that we would receive this word, that, Lord, we would be doers of this word. God, help, if we've got to write this down tonight on this date and write this down in our journal, in our personal devotional, Lord, if we've got to take notes in our Bible, help us to remember, Father, for those precious promises that you've given us, that direction you've given us in ministry, or that word you've given us over our marriage, that word you've given us over our family, that word you've given us over the church and over our purpose and over our destiny. Lord, those promises that you've given us and spoken to us in times past, just because they've not come to fruition or because they've not come when we've wanted them to and expected them to, it does not mean that you have forgotten about us. You've not abandoned us. You've not forsaken us. You've not forgotten us. But Lord, I'm asking that, Father, that we would be responsive in this season, that we would understand, that you would open the spirit of our understanding to see that if there is a Hagar in our midst, Lord, and Father, and even the person that we're yoked with, we're partnered with, we're connected with, and maybe it's in ministry, maybe it's in our marriage, maybe it's a friend, whatever the case would be. Lord, they're well-meaning people. This didn't mean Sarah was a bad person and never said that God was displeased with this. It was just not God's best. Golly, it was not. You said that in Romans, in the book of Romans, you said that our minds are to be transformed that we may understand and know what the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. Many people are okay with acceptable, and some people are okay with good. But Father, I'm asking for the perfect will of God. We don't want to settle for an Ishmael, because the Ishmael may sound good, it may look good, it may feel good. But the fact is, it will always look good, feel good, and sound good in seed form. But later on down the road, we may have to face the consequences of that which we've sowed in the flesh, because it will grow to its full maturity, and then we're face to face with something that's wild, untamed, chaotic, and is birth of the flesh. Lord, you said in the book of Galatians that this is an allegorical picture of Ishmael and Isaac, that which was born of the flesh and that which is born of the spirit. You said that which is born of the flesh profits nothing, but that which is born of the spirit is life and is profitable. So God, I'm asking, whatever we got to do, Lord, if we've got to fast, if we've got to pray, if we've got to get back on our face and get a recharge and a reshifting of our focus and our vision. But God, I'm asking that we would resist embracing the Hagar in this season and finish what you've already spoken to us, with whom you've already connected us with in this season. Oh, and I just felt in my spirit right now that there's somebody that's watching us tonight. The enemy has been tempting you. He's been tempting you in your marriage, tempting you to throw in the towel and call a divorce, because it's not green grass right now. The water's not flowing right now. The rains are not falling right now. It's not rainbows and dandelions and it's not pleasant and it's not like things used to be. And it's a little bit rocky and it's a little bit tumultuous. But hang in there, Abraham, because this is the Sarah that God has put you with. And I don't know, this is so crazy, I'm just going to speak it out. And the devil's trying to convince you that you can get someone younger. You can get someone that will listen better. They'll be a better companion. But the truth is, if you'll get your eyes off of their imperfections, come on somebody, and look at your imperfections. Jesus said it like this: if you'll quit focusing on the speck in your brother's eye and look at the plank in your own eye, come on and examine your own self, then The one who speaks life to the womb can speak life to your marriage. So don't give in to that Hagar that's coming in this situation, coming in this marriage. Some of you, the enemy's tempting you to try to abandon your church, abandon your partnership with the leaders that God's put you with. And you know that God's put you with those individuals. But just because the Isaac is not coming the way that your flesh wants it to be, and in the timing that you want it to be, don't yield to the Hagar. Come on, resist the Hagar and stay with the Sarah. Man, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I receive this, Lord, for those that are watching this program tonight. I pray that you bless them. May they receive this word with joy. May they receive it with gladness. I bind the enemy. The enemy that would try to sow double vision. You said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let that man not think he'll receive anything. Let him not believe that he'll receive anything from the Lord. For he's unstable in all of his ways. But God, you're bringing stability. You're bringing direction. You're bringing clarity to that which you've already spoken, that which you've already decreed, that which you've already conceived in them, and they shall see to it, and it shall come to pass. There might come a time, Sarah, that you may even laugh at it because it looks so ridiculous. But come on, hang in there, because this too shall come to pass in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, guys. God bless you again. Thank you for taking the time to jump on here for this about 45-minute word or 40-minute word or however long we went on this segment. Again, we appreciate you. We appreciate your partnership. We appreciate your prayers and your intercession. And as always, God bless you and thank you. And we'll be back on here, Lord willing. We're going to jump on here one more day tomorrow for the finish off this week. And again, I'll be flying out Thursday morning. I appreciate your prayers of safety as we travel out to Georgia for the rest of the week. And we'll be back here in Indiana on Monday. So again, I appreciate your prayers again. So tomorrow we'll be back on. And I think tomorrow I'm going to pull something out of the book of James, and I'm going to give you a prophetic viewpoint. There's something out of the book of James I want to show you that I've ministered to before, but again, we've got a lot of new people that come on here. So I'm going to pull something out of the book of James chapter 5 that I'm going to minister to a little bit tomorrow. So be looking for that. Until then, guys, God bless you. Have a good night. We'll see you then.